Long live the planet Earth. Long live Zed Games.
For the newcomer who hasn't heard about the 48-hour game making challenge before, how would you describe it to them?
It's an intense creative activity. Teams of six people. They arrive, they bring their own stuff, we give them the space, we give them the infrastructure. Our fabulous, 2012 sponsors gave us three words. The teams take those three words and they have to design and finish a game using those three words.
What were the three words this year?
Light, spring, and monster. So really cool words because they're all sort of quite definite but also very open to interpretation. So there's a whole range of monsters. The crumpet monster must be one of my favourites. That's brilliant.
So this is the seventh year?
Sixth.
The sixth year?
Sixth.
How's the competition evolved over the years?
In the most extraordinary way. The second year, which was the first year we had it here in the block, there was mayhem. There were tears. There were teams whose artists sort of went to sleep and whose programmers packed up while they were asleep because they couldn't wake them and who called their mums. And there were teams who didn't produce anything but had a fabulous time. And over the years, we've almost watched the game-making challenge kind of... It's like a little mirror of the industry. You know, those same teams... Members have come back and they're organised and they bring in younger members... And I mean, you'll have felt the atmosphere yourself. You know,
yeah.
It's quite serious and quite organised. And in fact, like I said earlier, it's our photographer's board. He says it's getting a bit more interesting now. You know, we're starting to see the overscopers. But yesterday he was saying, well, actually, there's not much to photo.
For you, what's the 48-hour game making challenge all about?
I think it's a lot about the innovation and just the amazing skill of the people involved. Just the fact that they can make something work in 48 hours, and then second to that, actually making something work that's good. That in itself is just incredible. And the fact that, you know, a lot of these games that we're seeing here are not just clones of something existing. So, you know, that would still be just, you know, making something work and making something fun. But the fact that we're actually bringing something new out of this, and, you know, Truna keeps saying the phrase game jam. And that really, you know, encapsulates the movement that this isn't just, you know, making something working. It's about creating something new. And to me, that's the best part of it.
Right. What specifically are you looking for, Gato?
We have predefined categories that we're looking for. First of all, there's the actual prize categories. So we have to think about those, you know, who's going to win the different things. But then within particularly the main category, which is, you know, who has the best game, there's a lot of different things that we're supposed to look for.
Yep.
So obviously usage of the three words. So there are three words that you have to incorporate into your game in some way. And this year we've been lucky enough to have very good words that can, you know, contribute to a lot of different kinds of games and different mechanics and different elements. So how they exactly use that will be part of the judging. Exactly what that means, though, is a little bit up in the air, because it could be just a tick box to say, yes, you used all the three words, but it could also be how many times have you used the three words, or probably more to the point, how well have you used the three words? Because, you know, if they've taken a different spin on it that then creates more gameplay rather than just a thematic layer on top of it, that'd be more points for how well they've used the three words. Then there's things like innovation. Have they managed to create something that plays in a different way to something we've seen before, or has different combination of things rather than just taking an existing game and sort of creating this layer on top that matches the three words? There's a category for play/fun. Which we'll have to debate what that means. Because, you know, play and fun are kind of, you know, when you start looking into games from an academic point of view, you're just like, oh, what does that mean? What is a game anyway?
Yeah.
And what is fun?
Has anyone broken the rules and had to be thrown out of the competition or anything like that?
At the end of the day, this is a jam. Yeah. It's not about, you know, following strict guidelines and, you know, being to the letter. It's about giving these kids an opportunity to, you know, do something that they wouldn't have had a chance of doing normally, and then we try to laud the ones that do the best.
We heard an interview with Gotte, who is the head judge of the 48-hour game-making challenge that occurred over the weekend, as well as Truna, the founder of that challenge. We're talking about that event all night tonight. We have the winners of that challenge coming up. They'll be joining us live in the studio. We also had a chance to go around and talk to a lot of the people who were competing. Lee, did you have any impressions?
They were all very sleepy by the time we got to them. Yes, but they were holding up, the little troopers.
Yeah.
Particularly Team Carrot, who managed to overcome extreme sleep deprivation and take the whole contest. So well done to them.
Yay.
Yes.
All right, let's hear some of the interviews that we gathered over the weekend.
Okay, our team's called Lurker's Craft. Lurkerscraft.com is our website. We've been in the competition since its inception. So this is our sixth year running in it.
So we're taking a fairly traditional take on Spring Light and Monster. The light, we're using light balls, and these light balls are playing a Connect Four type of game, where the objective is to align four of the same, four or more, of course, of the same type of colour light. And for the springs, there's springs on either side of the screen that compress the balls that are available to you, and as you fire the balls out of your area, the springs compress them back towards the center of the screen. For the monster, there's a monster that's hanging out in the middle of the screen, and she's constantly feeding you more and more of these light balls and putting them in your inventory, and your objective is to get them out as quick as you can and to keep connecting them, otherwise they're eventually going to overrun you. So it's a bit of a race against time, and it's a survival game.
So what's really working for you guys at the moment? What's going right now?
Lots of sleep.
Which sleep's the most important.
Yeah, we've slept a good 8-9 hours, I think.
Over the years, that's the thing we've learned the most. You're not any more productive when you're tired. In fact, you make more mistakes. Everything starts to go wrong. People get angry. People just get tired and angry. And you need to avoid that. Yeah, so I think with the experience, that's probably the most important thing that we've learned. You have to sleep. When you're tired, and we even send the other guys off, we see people starting to fall asleep at their desk or whatever, you're gone. You're no good to any of us. Get some rest and come back when you're feeling better.
In years past, we've had 6-7 hour long discussions over whether or not a jetpack can fire in a vacuum. And that usually happens when people have had not enough sleep.
Yeah.
All right, can you guys start by telling me the name of your team?
We're Rockin' Moses, yeah.
Now, you guys are the defending champions of the 48-hour game-making challenge. Can you tell me about the concept for your game?
You play ringmasters that use your spotlight to lure clown monsters in the circus over spring traps. And the idea of getting them through those spring traps is to score points on floating targets above the ring.
Yeah, so you've got about 24 hours left. How's the team handling the pressure?
Yeah, I think we're doing pretty well, actually. I think, once again, we've scoped ourselves really well. We've kept it small with the ability to expand. I think the majority of things that we're doing is assets and make it look pretty, and adding in sort of situational things that we can do to make the game a bit more dynamic.
Yeah, last night we decided at 5 a.m. that we would all go to sleep at the same time. And we slept until about 7:30, 8, depending who you are. I think the words were a lot better this year, and because they're quite open to interpretation, there's so many different ways that we could have taken this that perhaps the first way we came up with wasn't the best way. So when we came up, we went and sat down for a while, and we were kind of happy with an idea, so we decided to go get Nando's. And that's often where the best ideas really come out. And that's what happened this year. So that was kind of a tragic that turned into a magic. Apart from that,
I think the worst thing that's happened for us is just trying to get to sleep. It's we wanted to get some sleep last night, but it was just hard to get to sleep, wasn't it? That's pretty much the only thing that we've had not go
pumped.
Our way. Yeah,
too. Our team name is Team Carrot.
Team Carrot.
And
excellent.
That was one of those names. It was a placeholder name that just never got rid of. So.
Excellent.
Yeah.
How's your team handling the pressure?
Oh, mixed a little bit. I still haven't slept, so that's my
plan for the afternoon.
There's some definite red eye going on.
Yeah, it's horrible. So I'm a bit out of it, but that's okay. Some other guys just actually came back from sleeping. You saw the guy sleeping in his chair. He went downstairs to sleep, but he couldn't fall asleep. He's probably overtired. Now he's come back upstairs and fallen asleep at his computer. Yeah, I suppose it gets to a point where people are trying to push to get work done, and some people are, you know, getting tired and getting over it a little bit. But we need to push through. Need to carry on.
Yep.
Three of us didn't sleep last night. We were the ones that we've done it previously, and we just decided to power through. One of our team members decided to sleep because she got up quite early. She had to work before coming to the 48-hour game challenge, so that was well deserved. And the other guys, the two programmers, had a big nap early this morning, I think it was. Trying not to program when you're half asleep probably doesn't work too well.
Tell us about your team.
Okay, we all were at uni at Queensland College of Art last year, and this year we've all started a company. It's called Ghostbox, and so we released our first iPhone game in, I think, April, which was basically just a uni project which we put together and finished, and then we've got a new game coming out soon. So
called Gunner Runner is our upcoming game.
This year the keywords are Monster Light Spring.
Yep.
How are you guys incorporating that into your game concept?
Fairly literally. So we've got a big huge monster that runs around and eats everyone. The game is sort of set in sort of like spring garden, so there's lots of cute flowers and everything. And then how players escape from the monster is by running to this big beam of light. Because it changes to a dark, stormy night when the monster reveals itself.
Yeah, so the aim is hopefully when the game's finished, it has the appearance of a cutesy spring game, but then when you pick out the monster, the whole game's going to go very dark, and then all of a sudden the game's going to become quite scary and violent.
Our team name is Those Guys. We are a six-member team. We wanted to actually bring out, because a lot when the actual three words came out to us, we thought, what was it again? It was spring, light, and monster. As soon as spring came into our, you know, our hearings, it would be like, all right, well, spring, let's use that, you know.
It's like a spring.
Yeah, like slinky kind of thing. And we're like, and we actually heard it on the background. Everyone was like, oh my God, spring. You have to use slinky or some kind of, and we were like, all right, well, let's do something different. Obviously, spring, there is a season called spring, and we actually came up the concept of treating the environment as a spring.
How about the sleeping arrangement for you guys, team? Sleeping all at once or taking turns in shifts?
Definitely sleeping in a turn, because we didn't want to sleep all at once. At first, we let the whoever finished, which was the 3D modelers and such, to go to sleep first around about, say, 10, 11 or so, or even maybe a bit later. And when by the time they came back, or an hour or two earlier, the programmers would actually go to sleep. And by the time the 3D modelers are back, then programmers would sleep. And by the time we're all up, then we just walk all together again.
Mm. We're well-placed cactus.
We decided to take a long time and come up with an idea that we all liked, because in previous years, it's not what we did. So we went for... You're a hot spring attendant, and you're trying to stay
alive.
Stay alive by surrounding yourself with light of fireflies to keep monsters at bay in the scary darkness. Mm-hmm. And a bit of a battle theme in there.
Mm-hmm. So we're about halfway through the 48-hour competition. We're at the 24-hour mark. How are you handling the pressure so far?
Extremely well.
You look pretty relaxed.
Yeah, we went out and got breakfast together and bought strawberries.
We had a stroll through the markets.
We all got a couple of hours. Like, most of us got 4 or 5 hours sleep last night. We're not rushing it. Not the best place to sleep, it's got to be said. Hard floor, one guy who snores we ran away from snoring guy and went down to like the next level down where it's much brighter. So it's like, just put something over my face, it'll be alright. And in my sleep deprived state, didn't realise I was sleeping in front of the elevator. So then the elevator like talks, so all of a sudden ding,
Whoosh! Welcome to level 2!
She came out and just stepping on us. And like, so that was, you know, wasn't the best sleep I've ever had, but it was at least 5 hours.
That's the wake-up call you can do.
Yeah.
Okay, we just heard from local artist Green Nose with Trojan. And before that, we heard a whole bunch of interviews that we recorded over the weekend at the 48-hour game-making challenge. We heard from Team Carrot, Lotus Craft, those guys, Rockin' Moses, Ghostbox, and Well Placed Cactus. So let's go through the winners of the 48-hour game-making challenge. We had Best Logo was won by Ghostbox. Best Audio was won by Well Placed Cactus. Team Carrot took out Best Graphics. Who Dares Wins Award goes to the Black Wolf. And what's that award about, Lee?
That was for people who had created something incredibly ambitious but who perhaps had not managed to properly scope and therefore didn't quite pull it off. But everyone appreciated their fantastic efforts.
Mm-hmm. People's Choice runner-up was won by Rockin' Moses, People's Choice first place by Team Carrot, and the overall indie winner of the weekend was won by Team Carrot. And it is my pleasure to introduce the entire team of Team Carrot to Zed Games tonight. Hey, guys.
Hey, how's it going?
There are a lot of people in here with us right now.
There's six of you. First up, congratulations on the win.
Thank you.
When you were going into it, did you think that you would do so well? I mean, you won so many awards.
Well, you always aim to try and win, but we didn't have any idea that we were going to take it. We're just hoping.
Cool. Well, why don't we go around the room and everyone can tell us what your name is and what you did on the game.
Hey, I'm Tavis. I did some 3D work. I did a lot of the environmental stuff, trees and shrubs and stuff like that.
My name's Henry, and I did a lot of the modeling as well as all the rigging and some of the animation.
I'm Joel. I was kind of producer. I managed the team, and I generalist jumped in where I could to help out.
I'm Danielle, and I did some modeling and also all of the art in the game.
I'm John. I did the programming, music, and the sound design.
I'm Tom, and I'm also a programmer.
Cool. Now, Tavis, when we interviewed you on the weekend, your eyes, I have to say, were just red.
There was no white left in them.
Yeah, yeah. It was crazy. So you guys went all out, huh?
Yeah. We worked really hard, and we slept when we needed to sleep. I actually got twice the amount of sleep that I did last year, which was a total of 6 hours.
Oh.
So I went to bed just after the interview, actually.
Okay. Well, let's explain to the listeners what your game is about.
So essentially,
it was called Light Fight.
Yeah, it was called Light Fight. So when we got the three words, we really tried to keep it simple when we were brainstorming it. So we ended up going with you capture light and you take it back to your base, and that's how you gain points. And if you gain 3 points, you win. So it kind of like capture the flag, but we put our own little twist on it. The monsters that we used were based around spring and winter. So the three words were spring, light, and monster. So that all incorporated in and nice little box.
Cool. I was especially impressed by the fact that you had like melee and ranged attacks. Was that something that you always thought you'd have?
Yeah, actually it was. From the beginning, we always said that we wanted at least two buttons in the game to keep the controls simple, but to give a bit of a variety. So just having one button gets a bit boring.
Makes it more engaging as well when, you know, you're fighting with your friends. It's a bit more interesting than just pressing the one button to attack. And when you get close up, punching your friends, it's a lot more exciting. Yeah.
I certainly enjoyed punching Ray all weekend. So did you guys have any, you know, concepts that you really enjoyed but that you just couldn't figure out a way to fit them into the end result, you know, in the 48 hours that you had?
Yeah, we did. We had that the season changing as you gain more light. So that as you gain more light, the whole map was supposed to change to whatever season you're playing. But yeah, that was pretty hard to do, so we didn't end up doing that.
Yeah, I remember actually in the interview you guys were talking about how that one was that was going to be in there.
Yeah.
At what stage did you have to let that idea go?
Oh,
like 24-hour mark. We had like another meeting at around the 24-hour mark. Like, okay, no more assets. We've got what we got. Let's just get it finished.
A lot of the stuff we just said, all right, we'll put that in the if we have time category. Yeah. And when you get to the end, you go, well, we didn't have time for any of that. So.
How far prior to this event did you start planning? Like, were you told what the words were before you got there, or is it as soon as you walk in, that's when you start, that's when you've got to take half an hour to brainstorm and get into it?
They gave us the words, like, pretty much we got there at 4 o'clock and they sat us all down, and the half-brick dude came up on the big monitor screen thing, and we got the three words pretty much at, like, 10 past 4. And then we went away for probably about 2 hours to brainstorm. Yeah. 2 hours?
Something like that, yeah.
And I think that really, like, helped set us up for, like, the scope of our project as well, taking that much time to actually plan what we could do. But, yeah, we had no idea what kind of words we were going to get. But
did you set yourself little, like, time limits along the way, saying, you know, we want to spend 6 hours on this. If we don't get it done, then we move on, or was it... Did you have any plan going into it?
A little bit. At the 24-hour mark, we kind of had one. But especially at the start when we were planning, we just said, as long as it takes to get the planning down, you know, we're not going to set like a 2-hour mark on planning because that's the most important bit. But generally, we kind of just went with it. And if it didn't really work, we kind of just threw it away.
Yeah, we also had meetings every 6 hours as well. Yeah. It'd be like, well, where are we at? Is everything working? And do we have to cut stuff out to make the game?
Yeah, it's really interesting because it's not just a test of your actual skill as programmers, designers and artists and all that, but it's also a test of like strategizing and managerial, because you have to sort of plan your weekend out and, like, you know, evaluate your process as you go along, right?
That's correct. I guess most of the stuff went according to plan, except for our sleeping arrangement. We said, you know, let's... At the 24-hour mark, let's give us 3 hours each to try and get some sleep in. And that didn't end up working out. When you interviewed Tavis, I think he was up for the longest, 36, I think he made it to,
before good he actually got God, some sleep. Man.
But wow. When you were interviewing, me and Henry were asleep when you were interviewing.
Yeah, I was in the chair, I think.
Yeah, that's right.
Sleep at his desk.
I think at one point I totally zoned out and I was just staring blankly past the screen.
I saw that. You had your headphones in doing the sound design, but your eyes were closed. You didn't need your eyes for the sound design.
I got this place.
Yeah.
Yes, we are still here with Team Carrot discussing their triumphant win at the 48-hour game development contest on the weekend. Guys, you were just explaining your incredible sleeping fort that you had constructed. Can you please tell the listeners that? That is amazing.
Well... stupidly, I forgot all my sleeping gear, so I didn't have anything, no mattresses or sleeping bag or blankets or anything.
Didn't even have a pillow.
No, I didn't. So basically what I did was around a 30-hour mark, I went downstairs to one of the rooms and got a board, laid it on some chairs and made myself a bed. And it was really comfortable.
So, yeah, there is a kind of weird, you know, hobo town feel to the whole event, because everyone has just got their massive piles of, you know, their stockpiled food and their mattresses and their, you know, pillows and everything about. It's a bit deshabille, we might say. Yeah, set the scene, guys. What's it like actually being there in the trenches? You know, how do you deal with that?
You kind of really zone in on your screen, hey?
Yeah,
it's all going on around you, but you don't, like... And every time you do look up, it's just a mass of sugar lolly paper, like junk, like Nando's and Coke cans and all this kind of crap, and those rubber ducks. Oof.
Those ducks.
Did you work in shifts? Like, were you able to take a break and, like, a proper break, or you just not really?
We sort of took a break if we needed one. Like, there was coffee and some food supplies provided by, I think, some of the local bakeries and that sort of stuff. So if we needed, like, to get some fresh air and go for a walk, it was, you know, you just get up and go. But we didn't really have shifts as far as the work went.
Or sleeping. Sort of,
yeah, or sleeping.
We kind of slept when we were sleeping.
Yeah. We just sort of told everyone, said, like, is there anything we need to do before we go to sleep? And then, you know, if not, we just crashed out.
How many cups of coffee and how many energy drinks would you have all consumed in 48 hours?
A lot less than last year, actually. A lot less.
A lot of coffee, but yeah, not a lot of soft drink.
Lots of tea.
Yeah, a lot of tea was good. Tea was nice. Yeah. Oh, Joel had a lot of coffee.
Joel had a lot of coke.
A lot of coke.
So a few of you participated last year, is that right?
Yeah. Us three.
So what mistakes did you make last year? Like anything for the game or for sleeping arrangements, that sort of thing. What did you learn from last year? That
a lot of junk food.
Yeah,
it's not good for you.
Sugar headache.
Yeah. For the first like 24 hours, it's kind of okay, but then all the sugar gets to you, and then you just your work quality just drops.
Yeah, it's the energy crash. You're just out of it.
Yeah.
I don't think we planned as well last year as well for the actual game. Our game idea sort of fell through about halfway through. We had to do some major redesigns at the 24-hour mark, which wasn't good. This year we stuck to it a lot more. We had a lot better scope this year, which was...
Yeah, I think last year we were trying to please everyone with everyone's sort of ideas. And, yeah, that was horrible. So this year we kind of just said, you know what, this is what we're doing. This is how we're doing it, and that's how we did it. Yeah.
So what does the future hold for Team Carrot then? Are you guys going to, you know, is this a thing now? Are you now that you're a winning team, what happens?
Carrot Studio.
Yeah.
It's got a good ring to it, actually.
Yeah.
Half of us are currently finishing our degrees and actually developing another game called Torak.
Mm-hmm.
So really it's just worry about that. The other ones are doing animation, so they've got to finish up their... But we've actually discussed developing Lightfight a bit more and hopefully getting it out onto the consoles and stuff like that. But that's all stuff that we said, look, we'll think about it after we get our, we finish our degrees and become graduated.
Yay. Well, it was a big hit, so I mean, it would be good to do something further with it. But yeah,
yeah, definitely.
Mm.
Put this on the resume at least, that's for sure.
Definitely.
Do you think you'll do this again next year? Or is 2 years?
For sure,
Definitely.
Did you get a chance to go around and see any of the other games that were being developed, or you were totally focused on your own screens?
We got like a... After you finish the competition, it's like a gala kind of thing, and you can go around and play everyone's games and like make your people's choice vote kind of thing.
Ah, okay.
And like we kind of didn't really get up and look around at what other people were doing because we're just like... focused on what we were doing. But when you got up after the 48 hours to have a look at what everyone was doing, it's really impressive. Like some of the games are really, really cool.
And you beat their brains out.
We did. They ate too much sugar.
Yeah.
So are you planning on releasing this game to the public anytime soon as it is now, or are you going to wait and develop it more before you sort of unleash it on the world?
Well, we're going to release it soon. We just needed to figure out a few more bugs that we... had and a few little GUI and things like that that we didn't get in, but yeah, soon we're just going to give it as a free download for people to play whenever they want, and then from there we'll develop it and then see where it takes it from there. Whether or not it's free or not, we don't know.
Cool. Well, guys, thank you very much for joining us on the show tonight, and congratulations again on your win.
Thank you
very much.
And also a big thanks to Truna, Olivia, Emma, the judges, and everyone who gave us their time for an interview on the weekend. It really was an amazing weekend, and we had a lot of fun, didn't we, Lee?
We really did. We'll be back next year, and you'll be there the whole time, right, Ray?
Yeah, the whole time. I don't know about that.
Yes, you heard it here first. Ray promises to stay on site the entire 48 hours.
Sleeping bag and pajamas.
Only if you're with me, Lee.
I'll be up the hill.
You can get a double sleeping bag.
All right, well, that's all the time we have for this episode of Zed Games. Next week, we'll be joined by Meg and Anthony from Screwtape Studios. They're about to put out a new game. They're local developers. We'll be talking to them. But we're going to leave you now with one last track. It's Sivo with Reformat the Planet. You've been listening to Zed Games.